What's going on, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. First, go follow me on my socials at Kojak Podcast. If you want to support the show, my Patreon is Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I got a Venmo at Conspiracy or JAC, and I always put the links in the show notes or where you can find me and all those things. But the big one, go follow me at Kojak Podcast. Leave a review. And if you can't like support the show or whatever, the reviews, I always say this, but you know, sometimes we get new listeners. The reviews mean more to me than any monetary amount can. But so if you feel like supporting the show, I love you. If you don't, I still love you. Leave a review. And that's all I ask. Today's episode is with my buddy. We've
read the documents.
It was, I'm trying to do Alex Jones impersonations, but I can't even think of something that he says.
Oh, the Tricoms.
But we've read the documents. John, he's an awesome guy. If you haven't heard of him, you should, but he's been on my show millions of times. So, but we talk about this day today, who was born on this day. And we talk about our takes on him and how he's idolized by some, demonized by the other. When the answers, I've always talked about this, they're never black and white. It's not a Marvel movie. It's not Superman versus Lex Luthor in the real world. There's shades of gray for all of our leaders. Any leader in the past, 150 years has usually been corrupt, has been evil. This man is no different. So we talk about him. We talk about Tartaria and how we think it's a ploy to start. Well, you'll listen to the show. You'll find out. But talk about a lot of things. John's such a good guy. So go follow him, Weave_Red on Twitter. Go listen to his show. And I think that's really it. So I'm Jack Allen, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. Thanks for your time. I hope you're having a great week. And that's it. All right. Better yourself each day. Pray, love, laugh, work out, find a wife, get married. We're going to get through this together, my friends. Much love. God bless. Peace. All right. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence on this very special day, a day that we're going to talk about all famous celebrities that were born on this day, famous politicians, with my good friend, John, from We've Read the Documents. John, welcome. Happy 420.
Yes, happy 420 to you, Jack. It's been over 10 years since I've took a hit. I think the last time I did was because I had neck issues and I thought maybe you'd kill the pain when I had torticollis. But I'm good. I don't think I'll ever use marijuana again. I think it invites, of course I am, you know, born again, so the Holy Spirit dwells in me, so it can't be like Kundalini, can't wrap itself around my spine anymore, but it can knock at the door and I can be demonized and it can try to get back in.
Well, I was going to make a joke, but, like, put out that bong, man. Come on, we're on
stream. Yeah, let me the bong over here, you know, just hit it, you know, just make a full rip out of the water bong. You know, I never really smoked pot that much. I've only spoken maybe a handful of times in my life. I never really cared for it. Yeah. I guess because we're talking about 420, so I guess we're talking about pot, right? Made me paranoid. It was a little harsh on the lungs, you know. I mean, I used to have this like steamroller with this eight ball cue ball that was inside of it. You take a hit off of it because I used to a long time ago. I used to, you'd work at a job. I used to work for Advance Auto where we used to deliver car parts. I mean, this is like, God, maybe we can feel old now. This was 15 years ago, somewhere around there. And so, you know, sometimes I'd give you coworkers, you know, rides to work or whatever. And so there's this guy named Julius, and he would give me pot instead of paying gas money.
No, you know, way.
And so
that's
sometimes
funny.
He got, now one time he gave me White Widow and some of that good that he said he got down there from Atlanta where his family members grow it in the Georgia area. I remember looking at it and it was like, you could see the THC crystals on the veins of it, right? You could like flick it and like, it like would like snow, like would come off of it. Right. And I took that and put it in the steamroller when I got home and I shared it with my, you know, she's a girlfriend at the time. She's my wife now. You know, I, oh boy, let me tell you, that was, I mean, that had to have been some government grade stuff right there, because like I remember getting dry mouth into munchies really bad, and then I don't remember nothing else after that. Like that damn, whole day or dude. Two was like it was just like it must it might it could have been laced with something for all I know. But yeah, so I you know, it's like that one episode of That 70s Show where they smoke pot and they think that like there's a listening device inside of like the the vacuum cleaner,
right?
You know, so yeah, that I get that paranoid when I smoke pot. So I
It's always funny, like on 420, I see on Twitter, like it just restarts the whole like legalized drugs, or you know, like let's legalize pot, let's legalize heroin. What's your take on this libertarian stance?
I'm against it. I'm against it as a Christian, you know, as even as a conservative now. I was a libertarian, you know, for, you know, in my 20s, you know, I guess it kind of happens right when you kind of get woke to the world order, you get stuck in the Ron Paul trap, you become a libertarian and you're like, anybody could do whatever they want, you know?
Exactly,
and
so, dude.
And so now I've came back to where I was before then, 'cause I was, you know, conservative, growing up, you know, and, raised in a Christian household, but I don't think I was born again. And that's not, maybe I was, it's another discussion for another time, but you know, I now I'm like, no, I mean, look, we know the war on drugs is a failure, but just gotta be something that has to be done though. I mean, but then again, can anything be done? So I guess the only thing I would say is do I think drugs should be legalized? No, I don't think they should be legalized. Some people could say marijuana. I go back and forth with marijuana. Yes, there are health benefits of THC. You can get it from CBD to some degree. And so if someone has cancer for Rick Simpson oil, you know, you can use it topically and almost get the same effect and wouldn't be high per se, or at least as high. But there is a spiritual component to marijuana, you know, like you're cutting the spirit of Python, spirit of divination. It's very strong in people who smoke pot. And I mean, there's we call alcohol spirits, right? So I'm not going to say there's a spirit of alcohol, but there is, you know, kind of this, when you drink, you open yourself up to, I think when you use drugs, all types of drugs, psychedelics. I mean, me and Carl's had this discussion on my channel. Shout out to Carl, if you're listening, brother.
He's here.
You know, I think psychedelics, and he could talk about it way more. He's way more like, I've only done a few handful of psychedelics in my life. Okay. I never really liked them. I did salvia devatorum. I did ayahuasca.
Damn. Wow.
Never cared for them. You know, but this was way, way long ago. Never did LSD. I don't think I ever did mushrooms. I don't think I smoked pot, which you can see a pot psychedelic. They'll open yourself up when you're using drugs, you open yourself up to demonic possession, oppression, you know, you'll have your own, issues that drugs trigger with, you know, kind of mental illness and stuff like that. Everything mental illness can lead to drug use, but drug use can also cause mental illness, you know? So I just don't think, I think if they're legalized, I think, you know, the libertarian thing would be if they're legalized, less people would do it. Right. And I really don't think that's the case. I think if it's everywhere, more people would do it, I think there should be more, I think it should be more Christian outreach programs to get people off of drugs and keep people from getting on drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how do you look at it, Jack? Am I wrong? I mean,
no,
that's how I look at it now.
It's so funny that progression of like, you realize the system is broken. You say, all right, well, that means we need to get rid of the whole system and let's go to libertarianism. And I used to think that way too. Like I used to think, oh, I wouldn't have a problem if it was legal, like alcohol, but it's with heroin specifically, but it's not that simple. Like, just like you said, the drug war, we all know the CIA is helping bring drugs in. It's a whole money making scam for so many different avenues, but the alternative, like you think the problems with alcohol are bad. Wait till you have heroin legal and they're driving. Like, it's going to be compound this issue by 10, dude. Like, that's,
I mean,
how
you,
I
have,
got my
you have
my view on.
I mean, you have life experience with that. My father was a heroin addict, you know, and he went many years, you know, he got clean by the grace of God. And then, you know, he had hepatitis C from using heroin in the 70s. And then he relapsed when they told him OxyContin was safe and he was taking it because he was in pain due to liver problems. When I was a teenager, I was very upset at my dad, for relapsing and everything. But now, as you know, as an adult, you know, looking back on it, I'm not angry at him anymore. you know, mm-hmm. because now I get it. It wasn't necessarily his fault. The doctors were telling him it was perfectly safe and non-addicting. I even remember that as a time as a kid. Well, he got back on, you know, he got, wow. and it was a lifelong struggle with him after that. And then eventually got on methadone. And then, you know, he right. ended up dying from methadone killing his liver.
Yes. It does.
You know, so, you know, I, it's tough, man, you know, and I'm not saying, and then I would never, also, you know, some people go too far. They say Christians cannot be addicted to drugs. I disagree with that. I think, you know, it's a sin. It's a struggle. Just like, you know, everything else is. And I think that, you know, I would never tell someone who is an addict that they cannot be saved as being an addict, or if they're struggling that they're not saved. I've heard yeah. some people say that, and I think that's extremely harsh, and I think that's off-putting, and I don't think that glorifies God or helps anybody. No. So, you know, I don't look at it from a, libertarian, do it thou wilt. I mean, on Rand is like what the goddess of libertarianism, of modern libertarianism, you know, and that woman was evil as a day is long. I mean, you know, from Russian Jewish family, you know, she idolized, I think, the serial killer Hickman was a Hickman, and she thought Hickman was like the Ubermensch, and that he really didn't wow. like have any feelings or whatever, as he, I think he killed a little girl. I think Hickman did. Jeez. Let me look up Hickman real quick. I mean, that's where modern libertarianism comes from, right? Right. So, yes, he killed a 12-year-old girl. Her name was Marion Parker, and a 24-year-old man. So he killed two people. So that's who Ayn Rand, you know, has her protagonist in the Fountainhead and in the
really I've only just read the beginning of Atlas Shrugged, so I don't know much about Ayn Rand beyond that.
Yeah, but her male protagonists are based right there. Did Ayn Rand admire the killer William Hickman?
Yeah.
Now that's from an Ayn Rand site, so they're probably going to say no, but she did. it's obvious. And she ran a cult too as well. And, you know, from a libertarian standpoint, in her final days, it's debated, but it does look like it appears that she took Social Security money, you know? So as a libertarian, you know, so.
Well, you know, anytime, and I know this rule is, you know, there's always exceptions, but anytime there's like a push by the media or by experts, like, how drugs, you know, psychedelics are good for you or whatever and whatever, how positive things about drugs, we need to change the stigma and all these things. I always take the opposite. I just believe the opposite. So why is this new push for, and I don't believe compassion is definitely should be incorporated more, even though jail is what got me clean, many others clean.
It does. Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes.
But so why are they pushing these? And I told John about this book I'm reading, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow by Constance Collins or something. And she talked in this book was written in like 79. And she talked about how psychedelics are a great way to, if you want to get possessed, and that's why a lot of these new age cults push psychedelics. And it's, I think that's even more prevalent now in 2022 than it was. Wow. What is that? 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Peter Thiel funding the ketamine clinics in the United States of America and the psychedelics to get people, you know, off of out of their mental illness. It's using these plants instead of one, getting right with God and having faith in God and working through their own issues and, you know, and denying thyself. And I'm not saying that, you know, Christians shouldn't, if necessary for mental illnesses, you might need to take certain supplements to help out or, you know, or clean up your diet, or very rare cases take medications. I'm not going to say that, you know, that, you know, I'm not like a, you know, Church of Christ scientist, you know, like it's total, like I believe in faith healing. Yes. But I do think that God gave us brain too as well, in right. common sense, you know. So I mean, if you're bleeding out in the side of the road because you got a car accident, yes, of course, pray and pray away. I will be doing that if that ever happens to me too. Yeah. But however, I'm not going to deny modern medical science trying to save my life, or you know, modern conventional medicine. Now, granted, I'll use, you know, natural medicine to bolster my recovery, obviously. But, you know, I mean, that's the, how I look at it, man. I mean, you know, so, but I guess a roundabout way of saying is there are certain things that can't be done, even in the severe cases of mental illness or PTSD, that don't require psychedelic uses or microdosing of shrooms or ayahuasca trips or ibogaine. And I used to, many years ago when I was a Gnostic, recommend this stuff.
Really?
To clients and stuff like that. Yeah.
No way.
That would book coaching with me, because I thought, you know, I had Kundalini wrapped around my spine. So why not go, you know, Kundalini's, you know, whispering in my ears, you know, and pushing this stuff. Dude. But now I see how truly evil it is. Yeah. You know, and I speak out against it now, because I don't think that we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to face reality, as hard and harsh as it is. And these drugs stop you from facing reality. I mean, pretty much that's really what it boils down to, is most people who abuse and use drugs, it does feel good, obviously. And there are, you know, neurotransmitter components too, as well, like dopamine cycles and stuff like that. But one of the primary reasons why people use drugs is just to escape their life.
Yes.
Escape the problems that they don't want to face.
Yes. Well, you know who else was against drugs? A man who was born on this auspicious day.
Uh-oh.
In, I believe, 1889. I could be incorrect on, might be maybe 1880. I think 1889. But that's why I brought up John. I, you know, 420, obviously it's a hot day. And this man, a man with an interesting mustache, was also born on this day. I don't know if that's why they made Pot Smoker Day for.
I heard it was the guy who, shout out to a certain somebody, if ever listens to this, who was talking about it with me today. I don't know if you want to be named or not. If you do, I'm sorry for not naming you. We had a private discussion about this, but yeah, it's like, and maybe Carl knows. Carl, do you know the guy, there was some big psychedelic drug guy that made the day 420, and like the guy obviously idolized Hitler. But I can't, as I'm sitting here doing like the Roman salute when I'm thinking about Hitler, right? I'm trying to think about
someone's
the guy's name.
Clip that.
It's a subconscious Roman salute. But look, mustache man, look, all world leaders are corrupt.
Mm.
Every single last one of them. That's what I live by now. All right. Now, and they serve Satan. You know, I mean, occasionally maybe I had someone who tried to serve God. You know, however, most of the kings in the Bible did not serve God. They were wicked, wicked, wicked rulers. There's only a handful of kings that served God or had faith in God. You know, even Saul later in his life became a tyrant, but he was still saved because of his faith in God, even though that he, you know, practiced divination, you know, with the witches, you know, and wow. And so, I mean, but he, you know, he is named as someone who is in heaven. David was a man, you know, after God's own heart, and he had Bathsheba's husband murdered, you know. So, I mean, and then he later, you know, David repented, you know, and cost him actually his God's judgment. It cost David his one of his younger sons, because of that. So you know, so the way I look at it is most world leaders, because I don't think Earth, you know, the planet Earth's really changed very much since the days of the Bible. Right. So most world leaders, they're wicked and they serve Satan. I mean, ultimately, obviously, everyone has to answer to God, right? But you know, so when we talk about mustache man, I'm not going to try not to use his real name even.
We'll do our best
because YouTube will get upset about this.
Yes, they will.
You know, when I was a former, and I've talked about this before, you know, when I was fully had Kundalini wrapped around my spine, and I was a New Ager, I was also had white nationalist beliefs and leanings, You know, I think about it. I mean, it was a radicalization of Cambridge Analytica, and the psychographical, psychological, and spiritual warfare and the chaos magic that came out of that campaign that radicalized me to having those beliefs. It pushed me to stronger Gnostic beliefs that I previously had beforehand, and it pushed me to white nationalist beliefs because, you know, I kept being called a racist all the time. I kept being called a sexist all the time. I kept calling a homophobe all the time. So eventually I was like, you know what? You keep calling me this, then fine, I am this way.
Yeah.
And then also, white nationalism and all that stuff was being pushed during the 2016, 2015, years quite strongly through all this chaos magic and psychographical and psychological and spiritual warfare. Now, I praise God that God pulled me out of that nonsense of New Age and white nationalism. I will say I am proud of my heritage and my ancestry, as though I think everybody should be.
As you should be. Yeah.
Yes, but that nonetheless, we are all God's children. Now, only those who are born again are true children of God, but we're all made in God's image. I've talked about it where a lot of the white nationalist movement, they idolize Hitler, right? They idolize Hitler, and I mean, look, it's very highly likely that Adolf Hitler was a Rothschild puppet. All right. We wouldn't, if there wasn't for Hitler, then there wouldn't be the state of Israel. Okay. Like, let's be real here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And, did the Allies do war atrocities? Well, yeah, of course. We had internment camps for the Japanese Americans. We had internment camps for the Italian Americans. We seize assets of the Japanese Americans. We seize assets of the Italian Americans. I mean, I have a little bit of Italian in me on my mother's side, the bombing of Berlin, towards the end of the war, and the bombing of civilian targets, the fuel bombs that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Notice I didn't say nukes.
I like that. I agree with you.
So did allies commit war atrocities? Well, of course they did. I mean, Stalin was also considered an ally, right? And I'll get to Stalin in a minute. But to sit here and act like Mustache Man and other Mustache Man, Mussolini, and Japan with Emperor, I can't pronounce a Japanese emperor's name during World War II. It's let me look it up so I can look at it and actually pronounce it instead of butchering
Emperor
it.
Emperor Japan. Hirohito.
Yes. So yeah. I did get it right. To sit here and say that none of these people were really fighting for the world and things would have been better off if they would have won is laughable. There were things better off than the Allies have won. Well, that's laughable too. I mean, look at where we are today, Hitler was anti-Christian. He just used Christianity as a way of trying to prepare himself into power through the Nazi party. They had a watered down version of Christianity. They probably would have actually got rid of Christianity eventually if the elite would have made them won the war in some sort of alternative reality. Okay. So right then and there, as a Christian, Hitler's abhorrent. I can't believe I said his name. Sorry. Mustache Man. And then we have the occult practices of the Nazis. I mean, the Nazis went down and were kind of rounding up for work the Mountain Jews. And they started noticing the Mountain Jews were telling them that they were Aryan and showing them that they came from the Caucasus Mountains. And so the Mountain Jews tell a story of how they went back with the Nazis to Germany, and they taught the Nazis the secrets of the Kabbalah.
No way.
Yeah, so that's where a lot of Nazi occult science comes from, is Kabbalah. And then you also have the theosophical leanings of Madame Blavatsky and the beliefs of Hyperborea also influenced the Nazis. I'm not a fan of Mustache Man. I'm not a fan of FDR. I'm not a fan of Woodrow Wilson. I'm not a fan of Stalin. I'm not a fan of Hirohito. I'm not a fan of Mussolini. I'm not a fan of Winston Churchill. You know, I think that they all did war atrocities, just like majority of the world leaders do war atrocities today against people that live in their own countries or people that don't even live in their own countries. I mean, how many U.S. presidents, Jack, need to answer for war crimes? I would say every single one of them, you know? So who are we going to think, you know, Mustache Man is any better? All right. Really, really. Come on, you guys, you know?
Well,
and look, I know that there's things that don't add up for all the narratives of war too. Okay. Mm-hmm. But sit here and be like, you know, but then to do the other side, to demonize Hitler as literally the worst person who ever lived on the face of the earth. Stalin killed upwards of 50 million people.
Yeah.
A lot of them were Russian white Christians, which Dugin gets his pants wet over. and how many people did Mao kill? Pol Pot, the Armenian genocide by the Don May,
King Leopold.
Yeah. I mean, where does it end? Where does it end? So, I mean, the whole other, you know, who was the guy who wrote the book, The Holocaust Industry? That name of the book, The Jewish Gentleman. He does debates with Dershowitz, Norman Finkelstein. So to sit here to be like, you know, to believe all of the narrative about the Holocaust, okay, that's crazy too, you know? So the idolization of Hitler is silly to me. The belief that the Holocaust is exactly the narrative that we were told is silly to me. Sorry. It just is. I mean, were Jews, you know, killed? Yeah. They were starved. They were shot. There were ghettos, you know, to say that never happened is to say that no Jews were, you know, that was completely just a worked based, you know, thing, you know, where the Jews were just taken out of their homes and thrown into work camps. You know, and all they were in, you know, and the work camps were paradises, kind of like the white nationalists. Come on. There was starvation. People were, I mean, how would you like to be ripped from your home and put into a camp to work?
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Mean, so what do you think about it? Am I off base? Jack,
I think I told you earlier, I go by that rule. What the mainstream press says, I take the opposite. And for a while, I was like, man, maybe this guy is demonized because he was trying to fight the globalists. He's like the Putin of 1930s and 40s. But then Anthony Sutton's book, it's a three-part series of anyone, amazing books, but he talks about how Hitler was funded by Wall Street. And so when I read that, and it, you know, goes all these people who funded his rise to power, that expunged any sense that I was like, oh, maybe he was a good guy, because these, you know, predator class, they're not funding people that want the best for our public. It's not what happens. Like, it's a nice story to think, oh, some guy finally cared about the people in his country. And maybe he did, but to the extent that he's the great guy and everyone else, that's just like you said, that it's not true. Like, we live in gray areas. We don't live in bad guy, good guy. We're not in a Marvel movie, you know.
Did Hitler kill himself, or did he go down there to South America? Because if he went down there to South America, then he definitely just did whatever the banking world elite families, you know, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies at the time, the Rothschilds, you know, they told him, good job, you get a pass down there in Argentina. You know, I mean to sit here. And I mean, like, the mental gym, it's the same thing with Pinochet over Allende and Chile. You know, when you're a white nationalist, you're like, oh, helicopter rides, you know, Augusto Pinochet fighting the communists. Well, what was one of the first things that Augusto Pinochet did when he claimed power over Chile?
I don't know.
He instituted repayments to the International Monetary Fund that Allende had cut.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not saying Allende's our guy either, but come on. That's like one of the first things. And then Pinochet had his own, you know, like CMP connected in Schneider, recluse, has done excellent work on this, and he covered it in his book, Strange Tales of the Parapolitical. You should go buy it.
Oh, I got to check that out.
He talks about Colonia Dignidad. And so Colonia Dignidad was like where all the CMPers were going down to like this place where they can relive the German times and like rape the locals and stuff and kids and stuff. And this was all, the Pinochet administration was perfectly fine with Colonia Dignidad. And, you know, we don't even know what else was going on down there. Probably medical experimentations, you know, maybe Hitler showed up a time or two, you know? So, I mean, like, this is a revisionism of who... Everybody needs a hero, but everybody needs a savior, but they don't look to Jesus. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Dude, that's key. That's so key. We still have that to everyone. That everyone wants this simple. So they know no one wants to look inward. They want somebody, a savior figure, to save them. And it doesn't matter who it is. It could be Elon Musk. It could be Donald Trump. But it just puts the pressure not on them. They look outside when they should look to God, Jesus, and themselves. That's the only change we can control. But to think that these powerful people are going to save you, it's insanity. And I don't know what you do to wake people up from that.
I know, because it's communism versus fascism, right?
Yeah.
It's Republicans versus Democrats, right?
Right. Yeah. It's just, I just find, you're right. It's funny though, like how the white nationalist side, they idolize this guy. Like he was everything that could have been good with the world. When there's so, like, if they identify as Christian, like you said, he was using the Catholic Church as a means to an end. He wasn't going to allow that. He followed Blavatsky's theosophical, whatever word, beliefs, right? I mean, that was what he got all of his stuff from her and her work.
And that's what Mustache Man did. I mean, you know, didn't Colonel Michael Aquino go to that castle where they were doing all the SS rituals at? What castle was that? I can't even remember what castle that was.
It was Himmler's castle.
Yeah, it was Himmler's castle. But what was the name of it?
Wellsburg.
Yeah, so they were going there. You know, what were they doing there? Sacrificing kids? Pedophilia, molestation? So what? I guess, you know, to the white nationalists out there, well, I guess that's just Jewish tricks and lies.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what they'd say. It's just, it's a difficult
world. You can read their own writings, man. You can read their own writings. Why do occultists still to this day go to Wesselburg, to Himmler's castle? Why do they do that to this day? They still do.
Wow,
they
do
still
that.
Do.
It is crazy, dude. It's, and again, and like our whole thing, especially in that far right side, it's like, you know, Christian values, blah, blah, blah. But how do you have Christian values without Christianity? Like all these things, they wash away. Again, it just goes back to this need of a savior figure that they can like put their faith in, and they pick anybody but God or Jesus. It's wild, dude. It's insane doing the same thing over, expecting different results.
Or Judeo-Christian values.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
When Judaism, like, I love the whole thing. Well, John, Judaism and Christianity and Islam are Abrahamic religions. And I go, no, there's only one Abrahamic religion or one that, you know, has Abraham, and as far as a lineage, and that's Christianity. The modern-day Judaism isn't the quote-unquote Judaism of old. And Islam was never that. So it's only Christianity is the true Abrahamic religion. So
what is your take? So I read this one book, and this will segue perfect into our next topic, but it was about how the Dark Ages didn't exist or whatever. They were made up. And he brings up his ideas that Islam was started by this militant sect of Christians. They were in, you know, Middle East or wherever. And it was the king or whatever they call the Muslim kings. I forget the name, but he married.
Was it Flamenco's chronology?
It was Scott, I think, was his last name. Dark Ages myth. I forget Emmett Scott. I think that was his name, Emmett Scott. But he builds off of, but basically he says that's what Muslim was. Like even this was the example he gave. The first coin in that dates back to the supposed Dark Ages or around that time for the Muslim Islamic Empire. It has a picture of a man on a cross on the one side, and it's written in Saracen, But basically, you know, you can't depict Muhammad. That's the right, you know, like people in France get beheaded for doing that. Well, so so he said that the only thing that makes sense was this was a depiction of Jesus. The writing under it said the chosen one. And it was that was his proof, one of the proofs that Muslim was just an offshoot of Christianity. It was a militant sect and it just kind of grew into its own thing. But what's your take on, because you said the only Abrahamic religion?
I mean, there's a possibility. I've heard the same thing that Islam came out of Catholicism. Okay. But you know, most Catholics kind of, it depends. Some Catholics idolize the Dark Ages, like Michael Joseph, you know, and though I liked Michael Joseph's previous work, though he was Catholic, and I disagreed with a lot of his points against Protestantism. I agree with some of it. There was some, Protestantism influence of Gnostic or Jewish, beliefs. But not every branch of Protestantism was that the case. So, you know, but he would look at it. The Dark Ages were not, they were kind of like the Enlightened Age of the church, and the Dark Ages was just kind of the way that modern day revisions it to be like that, to kind of, you know, make the church look evil. And so, you know, I look at the Dark Ages as being, muddled, but probably better than what they say it is in conventional historical beliefs now. That makes any sense. And the circle back to Islam. Well, yeah, I mean, look, Islam's a false religion, in my opinion. I mean, every religion except Bible believing Christianity is you know, from the descends from the mystery schools in some fashion. You can even, like I've discussed, trace back to, the serpent, you know, lying and distorting God's words to Eve and say, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like gods and you'll live forever. Where if she just ate from the tree of life, they would have lived forever. So, right. You know, Satan just outright lied to them right then and there. It distorted what God had told them to not eat of the fruit. So, you know, since then, it's been a distortion. I mean, that's all Satan has, is he can't really truly create anything new. He could just distort what's really has already been created or already been done. So because of that, you know, he's that, you know, that's how every religion is kind of just a spinoff of that. And that's why most religions are works based. You know, I can't think of any religion. You know, you watch the Zeitgeist movies and they'll say, well, Mithraism is close to Christianity. But when you really look into it, it really is. Yes. It's a bomb.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, Christianity, you have God who comes in the flesh as Jesus Christ, and then who lives a sinless life, who is then crucified, and in doing so as a blood sacrifice or blood atonement, you know, all of the, you know, the sin of those who accept that sacrifice and believe in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus and God the Father and serve them, they're marked, okay? So when you're marked by God, you know, your sin, you know, because sin has to, you know, sin, which you could say like a transgression has to be repaid in blood. Revenge, you know, or, you know, something you don't want to say. I'm not saying it's revenge per se, but you know, it has to be paid in some sort of some blood sacrifice. Okay. So, you know, our transgressions are paid through our belief. And so when we are judged by God, Jesus is our advocate and says he believes in the sacrifice that I've done. He has faith, you know, he's bought, you know, signed with a price. He's freed from sin. You know, the Holy Spirit has entered him, you know, and then God won't look at everything that you've done. You know, instead he'll see Jesus. And then, you know, you don't go to the lake of fire. And that's, you know, after the events of Revelation have played out. Because when we die right now, if you are born again, you go to paradise, which is Abraham's bosom. You don't go to heaven, you go to paradise. If you're not, you go to Hades. And then later you'll be cast into the outer darkness once everybody is judged, including the angels.
Damn, dude. So you're just waiting before you get your eternity?
Yeah.
Damn. That can't be fun.
And then when you're cast in the outer darkness, kind of like the Dante's Inferno version of hell. That's not really what it is. It's God isn't going to force anyone to be with him if they don't want to be.
Right. I like that.
As a just king, you know, as a loving father, he's not going to force. So you go to the farthest place in existence of where you're separate completely. You know, there's God's just faintly there. Presence is just faintly there. And so Jesus calls it the outer darkness, where there'll be gnashing of teeth and wailing. So there'll be people who are crying because they're tormented because of what, you know, their own, through their own hubris or through their own sin. Mm-hmm. You know, they've realized their mistakes, but it's too late.
Damn,
and there's big people who will be angry and curse God. And there'll be people who will be torment and there'll be fire and they'll be thirsty, but they can't drink. You know, so your needs will never be truly satisfied. Because you're completely separated from God at that point.
That's vicious. Wow.
So, you know, at least that's the way I look at it. If anybody looks at it differently, you know, I would, anybody can, you know, you're welcome to email me, reread the documents, but that's how I've seen it. I've reading the Bible many times and listening to a whole bunch of stuff. But I mean, that's why Jesus, you know, Jesus hadn't gone to heaven yet after he was crucified, right? Yet and ascended to the Father until he was resurrected. Okay, so that's why he told the thief, the penitent thief, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say heaven.
Ah.
You will be with me in paradise. Okay, so you know Jesus didn't. That's why when Mary tried to cling to him, because the King James Version is actually correct in the translation of this. Jesus says, "Don't touch me, not cling to me. Don't touch me." Because he was perfectly holy, because he just resurrected. And he's like, I'm going to ascend to the Father in heaven. And so that's what he ended up doing. So that's when he went to heaven. So when we die, our bodies, of course, are asleep. They're here. Okay. And then we go to paradise, which, you know, is a very nice and pleasant place, obviously. We feel God there and everything. But we don't go to heaven. Not yet, anyway. We don't go to heaven until the book of Revelation, and eventually we don't even live in heaven in Revelation. We live on a remade, glorified, sinless earth that's almost like the Garden of Eden, called the New Earth and the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
So, you know, but we will, like, you know, also one day we will judge the fallen angels. We won't judge each other, but we will, you know, if you are a saint, if you are born again, you will judge the fallen angels for their crimes against God. That's talked about in the Bible too as well. So I didn't mean to get on a tangent about this.
No,
but, you know.
Well, no, I don't know. But dude, you're like my Bible guy. You know, I got to read it, and I know I should. But you're the, so whenever you say I trust you,
just start listening to it. I don't have it 100% right.
Maybe that's a good idea.
I don't have it 100% right. Some people might disagree with, you know, my ask, but I do maintain core orthodox, not orthodox church, but orthodox beliefs in Christianity. Mm-hmm. So I think if you maintain those orthodox beliefs, if you truly believe those orthodox beliefs, I believe I believe you're saved. Yeah. You know, now outside of that, we can discuss, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, you know, but there's certain things as Christians that are core beliefs. That's what testing the spirits are, testing a person's spirit, because you test both the spirits, or some spirits that are from God and some spirits that are from Satan. But there's also test the spirit of a man too, as well. Mm. First John kind of, you can apply to both. And so when you're testing a spirit of a man, you're trying to figure out, okay, so what do you believe?
Yeah.
And if they tell you kind of the orthodox, you know, I don't need to go through them here, but then, yeah, you know, if they truly believe that and they show the fruits of such, then they're born again, you know, so how you can tell. So, you know, a lot of people say judge unless ye be judged, which is true. But a lot of people, when they talk about when Jesus said to the woman at the well, you know, to the people that wanted to stone the adulteress, they said, you know, he was not sinning, you know, cast the first stone. But they always leave out what Jesus said to the woman, which was, now go and sin no more. So it wasn't, you know, when Jesus sat with the sinners, he wasn't like, okay, you guys keep, you know, cheating your tax collections and you keep being whores and stuff like that. He'd be like, hey, you need to stop sinning,
right?
You know, so, but no one wants to hear that now.
No, I, dude, I love it. So I, we, I, for a while I was big on Tartaria and okay. I was doing a few shows. I was reading flamenco and I remember I reached out to my, my, resource here and John and John's response. I forget what your response. I think you said it's a dead end or something like that to that effect. And I was at first like, I was like, no, dude, what are you talking about? And I see so much Tartaria stuff and I was really into it. And after John said that,
so was
like,
I.
3 months later, I was like, well, I don't know, dude. So tell me your opinion on Tartaria. And some, I had such a fast, like people love this topic and they're putting all the eggs in it. So I want your take and then I'll do mine. But I would like, yeah. So tell me what your take is.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you further. What do you think about, like, where did you first hear Tartaria? When you first, you know, like, let's get a little bit more. I'm curious to see what your background is before that. I'll give mine.
I just saw a YouTube video or a podcast.
That's how it always starts, right?
Tinfoil hat. It was on, was on there talking about, he was talking about the time, you know, they added all this time. And then he was talking about Tartaria. It was these two guys, I stopped listening to Tinfoil a long time ago, but whenever that was on. And that's what started. And then I started reading flamenco. I found him and all his, he has a lot of short books, but that's how I got into it.
Okay. Pretty much the same thing for me. I heard about it on Higher Side Chats. Someone was speaking about Tartaria. And so I was a Gnostic at the time. So I was like, oh yeah, this is great. You know, I'm like hidden technology and hidden civilizations, and all this hidden wisdom. And I mean, that's what, Gnosis is knowledge, but it's hidden knowledge. So mm-hmm. It makes the person who thinks they have this hidden knowledge, which we all are happy when we uncover something that no one else has uncovered before. Yes. We think no one else has uncovered before. Right. However, we got to check ourselves though, because there comes, you know, that's a very prideful, you know, stance on things. We're supposed to be meek and we're supposed to be humble, right? So, you know, I always got to check myself because I could be a very arrogant person, you know? So that's where a lot of this Tartaria knowledge is, because, you know, no one knows about it, right? It's something mm-hmm. hidden and secret. And there's advanced technology and lost empires. And so you'll hear this and you're like, man, this sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, you know? It sounds amazing.
And then, you know, you have a person's own arrogancy that they have. And then you have, the spirit of Leviathan, children of pride, Leviathan whispering in someone's ear or even possessing someone and to make them more prideful. And then you have the spirit of divination or Python that comes with hidden knowledge. You know, it's the Oracle of Delphi. You know, they were, you know, huffing fumes that are probably killing them at the same time from a dead snake's body, you know, in ancient times to get divine knowledge, you know. And so, you know, that's most people don't realize is when they're going down these paths, they're interacting or inviting in these spirits or demons. Now, if someone's born again, a spirit or demon can't occupy a person. The Holy Spirit dwells within there. It can't happen. However, these spirits or demons, they can demonize a believer. They can whisper into your ear or influence you. Okay. And God will allow that as a form of testing, you know. And so, and it doesn't, again, you can rebuke the spirit, but you don't say the spirit made me do it. Because ultimately, you know, as a Christian, you know, since you're not possessed, the spirit can't make you do anything. So you got to say, okay, you know, you can rebuke the spirit of Leviathan. If it's something, you know, or Python, for example, if someone's trying to get you to smoke pot or someone's, you know, you kind of feel what they call the third eye buzzing, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, it's Python trying to chip away. And so, you know, stuff like going into Tartaria, stuff like Kundalini yoga, you know, Krishna shouldn't be doing, you know, I mean, you can look at Tartaria, I guess, from an objective standpoint, but you got to be careful. You got to put on the full armor of God on you to protect you, because this stuff can lead Christians astray. Or this can lead people who are not Christians into accepting, you know, the Kundalini spirit into them and becoming Gnostics or New Agers or whatever. This could be a pathway to that. And so, you know, again, a person, even if a person does become filled with evil spirits or does become demonically possessed, they still have to repent for their own sins that they have done. Okay. So some people might say, John, you're a little bit close to deliverance, you know, and I do believe that Jesus does deliver us, but I do, I'm like, I mean, I believe the supernatural exists. I think a lot of Christians shun the supernatural.
I agree.
You know, they don't think it, you know, it's not a thing. You know, Michael Heisner talked a lot about, you know, the supernatural existing. But at the same time, I think people could take the supernatural way too far too, mm-hmm. you know, and you see a lot in the New Apostolic Reformation of that happening, you know, where they're not even Christian at that point, they're pagan, you know, so it's kind of a balance.
Yeah.
But Tartaria, again, it reminds me a lot of the mythos of Atlantis and Lemuria. It reminds me a lot of that. That they were peaceful civilizations that had advanced technology that through great cataclysms or war or whatever were destroyed. Hyperborea is another one that's very strong in theosophy, you know. So Tartaria is just another telling of that. However, it's from a Russian standpoint. And Dugin seems like he's very, it's at the same time he calls Tartaria silly, but yeah, he's pushing Tartaria narratives too. It's
so Dugin mentions Tartaria?
Someone asked him on a question, and I think he said it was kind of silly.
Interesting. So he knows.
But at the
about
same
it,
time, he's still pushing it though,
right,
in a different manner. You yes. know, that Russian society has always been superior and always have had advanced technology cool. and stuff like that and everything. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, are you talking out of your, are you double minded, Dugin? Are you talking out of both sides of your mouth? You know, so you know, so the whole Tartaria thing to me, it just, again, the mythos of Tartaria makes you think. It opens you up to New Age beliefs. It opens you up to the spirit of Python. It opens you up to Gnosticism. MacMan in the chat is 100% right. MacMan 1895. It's odd how all of a sudden these things just pop out of nowhere on YouTube or in the conspiracy culture. You know, like No Trees on Flat Earth is another one, right? So they just, and all of a sudden there's tons of evidence mm-hmm. that no one's ever put together before. Okay. And it's not like one central person usually coming up with a theory, right? It's all of a sudden like these group of people are just some random people that you don't even know, some anonymous YouTubers or whatever, just all of a sudden come out with this theory and it goes, it just catches fire,
yes.
you know? But it doesn't lead you to God, you know? Now, I don't believe in a flat earth. Okay. I'm not going to say that I haven't looked into it. I'm not going to say that I am 100% sure that the earth is a globe. Okay. But I will say that flat earth in most instances doesn't lead people away from God. There's actually been quite a yes. few people where flat earth has led them to God in Jesus
I
Christ.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And then again, you got to be careful with the Book of Enoch. That's another discussion. You know, I don't think baby Christians that are on milk, as Paul would say, should read the Book of Enoch, you know, but when you're, you know, when you're strong in your faith and you got the full armor of God on and you're prayed up, you know, and you want that meat, as Paul would say, you're done with the milk and you want meat. And yeah. maybe you should read the Book of Enoch. It shouldn't be in the Bible. There's truth in it, though. There's truth in it. A lot of these non-Gnostic extra-biblical accounts, there is some truth in it. But most of the Gnostic accounts, there's no truth, like, or very little bit, like just really little, very little. But I mean, I read the early church fathers, for example, you know, and they're, you know, up until the Council of Nicaea. So the Nicene period or the apostolic period. And do I agree with everything they say? No. Do I gain a lot of wisdom and knowledge, from there? You know, it's just like listening to a sermon, you know? Again, you know, if you're a baby Christian, stick to reading the Bible, you know, find yourself a good independent Baptist church, you know, find yourself a preacher that preaches from the Bible. Actually, you know, my preacher goes by book for Damn. Every sermon, you know? So right now we've been in the Book of John for like 7-8 weeks. Okay. You know, so he's just going right down, you know, verse by verse. Okay. So some, you know, he'll do, you know, John 1:1 to John 1:10. Okay. Right. And then go on from there, you know? So try to find a preacher that practices exegesis instead of eisegesis. Eisegesis is when you're trying to put yourself your own interpretation into the text. You're not taking the context or who's spoken to, or and a lot of, you know, I read Happy Birthday, Barbara, you know, Barbara Marx Hubbard. That's all Barbara Marx Hubbard does is eisegesis. Like, she takes everything completely out of context. You know, a lot of New Agers do that too. When there's a lot of things that Jesus is speaking to, he's saying the disciples in of themselves, okay, the 12 disciples, they are able to do things that you and I cannot do today, okay? It's pretty clear he's speaking specifically to them, but they'll go, no, he means, you know, everybody, you know? And so it's like, you know, they'll say, you know, talking about move a mountain and go, your faith can move mountains. And yes, that is true, but people will take that literally and say, we can do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we can walk on water. We can will things into existence. You know, kind of like the little G philosophy, you know? Yeah. So, but yeah, Tartaria to me is just Gnostic. It's just another lipstick on a pig for Hyperborea, Lumeria, Atlantis. It's hidden knowledge. It's not. It's Gnostic knowledge, and it's literally, you know, in the back alley. You know, Satan's like, hey, you know, they're lying to you, right? And you're like, well, yeah, but why should I trust you? Because they've always lied to you. And here's something you might not know about it. It's called Tartaria. And then the moment, you know, you get on that and you're like, well, because that's what happened to me. Oh, they lied to me about 9/11. Oh, what else did they lie to me about? Oh, they lied to me about about Christianity and the church. And oh, Zeitgeist is real. And Jordan Maxwell, he seems like a really good guy. He seems really earnest, you know. And the next thing you know, I'm a Gnostic Christian, you know. And I mean, looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, man, how foolish was I? You know, I thank God constantly that he pulled me out of this. All right. Because, you know, I'm ashamed by it. I'm ashamed by it.
No,
actually, I won't say ashamed because Satan tries to use shame. What's the correct word? I don't want to use shame.
Yes, you felt a little foolish.
I'm repented about it.
Yeah.
I'm earnestly repented about it. And I feel like that is truly a mistake. I feel foolish about it. You know, well, because I bought the lie, you know, and so, but if I would have known about the early church, if I would have known about the apostolic church, if I would have known the church before Constantine, and even the first council of Nicaea, it wasn't completely controlled by Constantine, or how the Bible was arranged was even before Constantine, you know, like there's certain things that if I would have known, you know, I would have fell for it.
Yeah. Well, so like the thing a few things like pushed me. One was I felt like Firmenko, and for anybody, he's like the guy that wrote all these books on it. He was like the first one. He was a Russian mathematician. And so first he pushes this Russian like supremacy, a lot like Dugin, that Tartaria was these Russian people. They conquered the world, or they expanded their with this architecture all around the globe. That kind of spun me off. But there are some good, I mean, like any good fun conspiracy candy, it does have some, like, you know, the architecture that I was like,
oh, it's posting. Fun, right?
Right.
It's fun, yes. Right? That's how Satan gets you, because it's fun. It's interesting. It's not boring, you know,
it's definitely
but the
not.
Problem is what is its fruits, Jack?
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Where does it lead you? I have no idea. I have no idea.
So to me, it leads you away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because is there a biblical narrative ever that there was this advanced society that was perfect and everybody was loving and kumbaya and had advanced technology? Is that anywhere in the Bible? Like, no. And also, again, to have what is the QAnon operation saying? I mean, what does Barbara Marx Hubbard say? What does Alice Bailey say? Well, they say that that's what the Brave New World Order of Love and Light is going to be, is what this was.
Ooh, that's a great
point,
dude.
And they say return to Tartaria. They say return to Tartaria. Return to Atlantis. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from.
I like that, dude. I think that's a very fair point. It kind of blends into that, your CNP, New World Order of... this is what we could have, and et cetera, et cetera. This is what we did have before whoever stole it from us. But it's just, I struggle. I was balls deep into Tartaria. And
so was I.
And your comment was like the first to like, that made me like, well, maybe he's right. And there are questions that I have, but like one, I'm reading another book right now, And it brought up this good point that the peasants of the Middle Ages and the time when all these amazing structures for the most part were built, they on average had like 130 days off of holiday. They only worked so, and they had, they could afford everything they needed. They could afford their family, food, blah, blah, blah. And so that what they did with all this extra time was build these cathedrals and build these buildings for extra money and to be proud of their nation. And so that's like when people say like, oh, we could never build that today. I know
we can still build the stuff.
Yeah, we're just soulless and our leaders are soulless. So they'll never build a beautiful, amazing church again.
We turn away from God.
Yeah, you that's know? True, I mean, too.
I mean, not people like you and I, they're born again and hopefully people listening, you know, but like. I mean, maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should start. I guess I wouldn't make a good architect. I'm not like George Costanza. But we turned away from God. So of course are we built, but then again, some of this stuff didn't glorify God that was built though. You know, when you really look at it and stuff like that, like a lot of it is, just kind of adaptation of, Catholic pagan iconography.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. The Chicago World's Fair. They have, I don't think it's Mercury. I forget who this statue is that we see the behind of, but it's the same one they put on the Capitol building. I think the same figure. So yeah.
That stuff's not glorifying God. You know, that's pagan, you know? Yes. I mean, it's not. So, I mean, the Bible's pretty clear that the world has been bad, and there's been times where God has intervened through his infinite long suffering and grace and mercy. And there have been times, especially, you know, Jesus, for example, you know, him giving us Jesus, you know, there have been times where we have been blessed. Like for the Bible says, you know, there's seasons, you know, so even as a Christian, you know, the prosperity gospel teaches that every, you know, God's a genie and everything's going to be smelling roses, you know, but Jesus said the slave is not greater than the master. I have suffered, therefore, you know, so will you, you know? So, you know, being a Christian isn't God does every single thing for you that your little heart desires and you get whatever you want. You know, it just ain't like that. So, I mean, look at the people, you know, I was watching, on YouTube. It was kind of like a vagabond rabbit hole thing I went down the other day. It was okay. Just this free documentary channel you can watch called The World's Dangerous Roads.
All right.
And I was like just watching these. There's like 57 hour long documentaries from all over the world about just people like just taking the world's dangerous roads. And like it takes like 5 days to make like a trip because the roads are like so bad and full of dirt in the rainy season and stuff like that. So I happened to watch this episode on Nicaragua because, you know, they ran Contra and, you know, who's the Ortega? Ortega's still in power, the Sandinista president.
Okay.
And so, you know, the Contra tried to overthrow. So I'm watching this and they had, it was very interesting. They had two, and it, you know, Latin America is mainly a Catholic, Catholic influence, yes. Catholic Church. Now there are people who are in the Catholic Church who, despite of the Catholic Church, are born again, and there's people who are in the Orthodox Church that, despite the Orthodox Church, they are born again. Okay, and that's not, you know, up to me to make determination. That's up to God, you know. And I do believe that. I know I have friends. Though I disagree with them, you know, obviously being Orthodox, I've had enough discussions with them where I do earnestly believe that they are born again. So I'm watching this and there was two pastors that live in a very poor town in Nicaragua. I mean, very poor, Jack. And they were making a trip to a neighbor town by a motorbike. And they weren't priests. They were Protestants.
Okay.
And they appear to be Presbyterian. And they were, you know, trying to go to the neighbor town to proselytize. And just how arduous their trip was and how the motorbike kept breaking down. But God kept providing for them in this documentary. And, you know, people kept helping them. They would come out of nowhere and like help them and everything like that. And how they just kept trusting God. And even when, you know, they couldn't make it to the town, you know, fully, they end up, you know, still spreading the gospel and still trusting in the Lord. So it wasn't God's will for them to make it to that distant town, but on their way through their journey, God sharpened them. They always maintained the faith. You know, they, when things were going wrong, they weren't like, oh, woe is me. Things are going wrong. They were going, well, there must be a reason that God is doing this, you know, and we have to continue to glorify him and maintain the faith. It was beautiful watching this. The guy doing the documentary, who's done all these documentaries, you know, obviously I don't think he was a Christian. It didn't seem like he was, but just to show that, okay, it was touching, man. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and America, you know, us, you know, we got it good here. These people sacrifice everything for their faith. You know, I mean, look at what's happening in China right now, where, you know, if you try to proselytize on the internet, mention Jesus Christ, just his name, you can get thrown in prison or killed or worse. Mm. You know, I mean, we have it good here. Oh, you know,
yeah. Dude, I used to think, like, for a while I was in this stage where I was like, all economic systems are controlled by the top. Communism, it's still, you know, supported by Wall Street. But as I can go on this journey or whatever, I really start to see, you know, I don't want to be like a crazy 1950s person, like better dead than red, but there is something like inherently demonic or like, you know, something mm-hmm. evil that resides in like communistic forms of government. Would you agree? Or do you think there's a reason why that is, without like godliness changes you to communism, or what's your take?
I think to have a communist society, you can't have God and Jesus.
Okay.
But then you can say the same thing about a fascist society.
This is true. Yeah.
I mean, Mussolini, you know, or you can say the same thing about a National Socialist Society. I mean, I really believe that eventually Mustache Man would have outlawed Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Philip K. Dick is propaganda and the Man in the High Castle is, but that's what
happened.
Have
you seen the show?
I hated the ending, but I enjoyed the show.
Oh, that's right. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Because I read the book, and anybody, if you guys don't know, Man in the High Castle, it was what if the Nazis...
It was very well acted. It was very well acted, very well written to the end. But, I mean, what did you think about it? I guess we discussed
I love that idea, you know, that concept. It's like a perfect book for anybody or movie, that anybody in the conspiracy movie, because it's like a what if scenario. But I loved it, and I've watched it multiple times. But like you said, the end, it got a little weird.
And I mean, Germany rewrote Christianity, right, to be a nation state religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they hollowed it out. They completely threw out the Old Testament. Okay, if I remember correctly, and you couldn't get a full Bible. You know, you could have a Bible in the neutral zone, but you couldn't have a Bible.
Or you couldn't have
a full Bible in the Nazi states or in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think that's what would have happened.
I
believe that, you know, Christianity is the objective truth. God, the Father, Jesus Christ are the objective truth. You know, I find that to be abhorrent, because they're keeping the truth away from the world, you know. And so, look, I mean, none of them. I mean, you're right. Let's be real. All forms of government that push away God and Jesus, they're all going to be, you know, without God and Jesus, it's not.
They'll fail. They'll crumble.
But then again, every government's been like that.
That's true. Well, so here, this is my last question, because we briefly talked about it. So everybody, I've become like a monarchist, but I am on this journey. I always will change as we learn, as we should. If you're too dug in your beliefs of truth of what you think is, you're going to get, you know, it's just not going to work out for you. So I remember you agreed with me at one point, and you disagree now. So what form of government in this ideal and Capistan worlds, what form of government in the Bible is encouraged, or what do you think would be the best case scenario for America or for any country going forward?
So there was someone who rebuked me correctly, and I, you know, people think I'm an arrogant, pardon my French, asshole, but you know, someone sat there and, you know, they were like, you're wrong about the divine right of kings. And they showed me where I was wrong. They were like, you remember the form of government before, the Israelites got Saul, right? because they wanted Saul because all the pagan nations around them had kings. And so they would whine to God. They're like, we want king. We want a king. We want a king. And so eventually God was like, fine, you want a king. You can choose. And they chose Saul. Now, God had more of a hand in David. Okay. David, you know, Saul was a mighty, mighty man. You know, he looked like a king. You know, he was strapping and muscles and strong, you know, well-spoken, you know, but David was just a meek shepherd boy.
Okay.
Jesus was a shepherd too, as far as being the good shepherd. You know, he's a carpenter by job, but he still looked apart as being the good shepherd, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I used to think, you know, you used to be in agreement. We've had these discussions.
Yes.
Now, I do think that it would be better. I still think it would be better under a monarchical system than under the divine right of man, which Barbara Marx Hubbard praises our founding fathers for breaking us of the yoke of the divine right of kings into the divine right of man. So that should tell you everything you should know. Yes. All right, so I just did a recent stream where a 1984 Democratic National Convention speech is blasphemous as all get out. Go listen to it. She lays it out of how wicked the 1776 revolution was and how wicked, the founding fathers were, you know. And
who
so, she didn't lay out how wicked they were. If you listen to her, she glorifies them.
I see. I got it.
So you can see that they're wicked by what she's like. She's saying, like, through their rebellion, like, they spoke into, like, they spoke the word into flesh through the United States Constitution. And it's like, whoa, you're blaspheming.
Nice.
You know, what was written in John is Jesus Christ is the word in flesh. He's Logos.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm sorry I misspoke there. Thank you for correcting me, or I got confused a little bit.
I was like, I got to listen to this speech. Who's calling them evil?
I think it is. I do think Madame Blavatsky, when she called Revelation of the Method, I still think it exists. I think that's what Barbara Marx Hubbard did from that speech. And, you know, and look, I'm not going to say that they're, you know, again, we've had wicked kings. Most kings are wicked. Okay. The Bible shows that. Most of the Bible, if you go read 1st and 2nd Kings, majority of them were wicked. I mean, Hezekiah wasn't fully, you know, it's like majority of them were wicked, 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 evil people. So you could argue that majority of the kings throughout history were also wicked, wicked, evil people too. And I mean, you know, I'm a Baptist, you know, the Baptists, you know, want to separate themselves from, you know, the English monarchy. So they came to the United States and they separated. They were separatists.
Yes.
But they instituted a government kind of similar to what was in the Bible, and that it was rooted in God and Jesus, but it was like a local council.
Okay.
So if you look at how the government was set up by God initially, you have like this council of people, of kings and rulers, or you call them kings, but like rulers, because you have the council of like rulers, but you also have a heavenly council above them. Okay. So they had to kind of like communicate with one another.
Okay.
So that's how it was supposed to, but then it became the divine right of kings because man wanted it to be so, because the Israelites wanted to be like the pagan nations. And then now you have the divine right of man. So each time Lucifer has degraded it from what God has originally set up, just like the Garden of Eden, just like the fall of man, you know. So we thought we were getting more freedom.
Yeah.
But we end up getting less freedom.
Classic.
And we end up going away from God. So that's the way I look at it now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we could ever return to that.
No, it'll never. It's a libertarian pipe dream. If you're a monarchist, it's the same thing as Ancapistan.
So I don't think we'll ever return to what, you know, was originally used in the Bible as God's governmental structure, which was, you know, a very, you know, righteous, faith-based human council of elders in communication with, you know, angels that serve God in a heavenly council, with God, you know, having the, you know, the major seat at the table on the throne, you know. So that's the way that I look at it. I'm welcome to anybody who sees it differently. If I'm saying it wrong or stating it wrong, please let me know. But when that guy rebuked me in my comment section, and I really, you know, started reading, I read through First and Second Kings again. I started reading, you know, listening to more of Michael Heiser. I realized I was like, yeah, I was wrong.
Well, it's funny when you and I got in that discuss on Twitter or whatever, when you mentioned that story, and you know, my biblical knowledge is lacking. That exact story of Saul came up somewhere, dude. Like, I was reading something. It was literally minutes. I'm not, minutes after you said that, it happened. And I was like, what? And that just made me even more angry, because I was like, what the heck? Why? What is God telling me this for? But so I just, you know, I just was interested in your, because it's, we all look for an answer, you know, that, because we know the world is so screwed up, and we all are hoping like this would solve it, this would solve it. And I think what I've come to realize is it's not meant to be solved. Like, this is
no, and I don't think it ever will be solved. Until, you know, until Earth is purged of sin and is, you know, rebuilt, you know, remade by God, and we're in our perfect sinless bodies, you know, remade in our uncorruptible bodies, you know, that's when it'll be solved. And it can only be solved by God and Jesus. It won't, until then, it will never, the Earth, I mean, the Bible's pretty clear, you know, ever since Jesus, you know, some people would argue there was a brief period of true light upon the world, you know, of shining of Jesus, of Christianity, you know, maybe between Jesus' death to about 1000 AD. Maybe you could make that argument, but we can say, and that was through people, you know, practicing the Great Commission and, you know, conversion, true conversions, and, you know, people truly being born again. You could make that argument, but, you know, ever since then, or ever since, you know, the apostles, or ever since Jesus, things have progressively gotten worse, and things have definitely progressively gotten worse now. Like, it's like the boulder's rolling down the hill. Like, when Jesus said where he's going to be like the days of Noah, it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Lot. Jesus was telling the truth. Yeah. That's what we're turning to. I mean,
yes.
For the love of God, look how bad things are. And I guess, you know, we still ask real quick, and I'm not going to go into a long diatribe of this. Why was Lucifer called Samuel pre-fall?
Answer.
I'd love to hear your theories. There are many different names of Lucifer or Satan and Samael in the Bible. Lucifer is also referenced to being the morning star, which is Venus, but he's the false morning star, where Jesus Christ is the true morning star, because Jesus is later referenced to being the morning star in the New Testament. So you have the false morning star, which is Lucifer, which is Venus. You have the true morning star, which is Jesus Christ. I don't think we're ever going to know everything. We might in our perfect glorified bodies, you know, then we might really, I'm sure we'll know then, but, you know, now it's just living. We're a lot of stuff. We're kind of just, and I don't think we're supposed to really mean to know everything while we're living either, you know? So there's certain things that we can piece together biblically about Satan, about the adversary. And people would have different opinions that are still biblical. You know, Christians don't have to necessarily agree 100% of, you know, what Satan goes by, or exactly the story of Satan's fall from heaven, or Lucifer. Like, some people say he was the music worship leader in heaven. You know, you also have information of the Book of Enoch talks about the fall. So, I mean, I don't think we'll know until we're in our glorified bodies, you know? I mean, we might not know then. We might not know. And I don't know if we're supposed to know all of it, you know? So, you know, people, they're always, Adam Green does this a lot. And a lot of people do is they try to find John's contradictions. Fired. They try to find contradictions in the Bible.
Yeah.
And most of them, if not, in my opinion, all of them can be explained if you just think, you know? And so I don't think there are any contradictions in the Bible. I've seen numerous ones being brought up by both rabbis and other people, you know, and if you think of, but most of them, I just thought about them and then look, okay, let's see what other people said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I end up saying, hey, that's what I thought about most of the time. Not always, but most of the time, you know? So I just don't think we're supposed to know everything, you know? So there's some things that people ask me who are unbelievers, and they'll ask other, you know, believers, you know, too. And there's some things that you just got to look at. You got to tell them, you go, I don't know. I have faith. You know, I mean, I can't answer everything.
Right.
You know?
No.
So.
Dude, faith. Keep the faith. Have faith. We don't. Those are beautiful points to end on. Not too black-pilled. If you have faith, everything is going to be okay. And that's what I tell myself as I watch Disney have crazy takes on everything. So,
but hey, this stuff happened during the Roman Empire. So what can we say? I mean, yeah, the Isle of Crete and pedestry and the Greeks and Romans, you know, so if it happened then, it's still happening to this day. So
humans evolved, dude. We're so past that.
Oh, that's true. We really
you should know that. All right, John, where can everyone find John? We've read the documents. That's my Alex Jones impression.
Not bad. Not bad, Jack.
Thank you.
You guys can find me. We've read the documents on YouTube. We've_read on Twitter. Thank you for having me on Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence, Jack. It's always been a pleasure, brother.
Oh, John. Thank you, dude. Thank you. So, guys, take care. Go follow John. Go subscribe on his Subscribestar. John is very good at posting on his Subscribestar.
I try.
No, you're good, dude. I'm on his Subscribestar. So you
and subscribe to Jack's too as well. And Odd Man. You listen to Odd Man. You should have been here tonight, but you had some prior engagement, so I'll let it slide this time.
Yes, we'll let it slide. So, guys, take care. We'll talk soon. Have a great night. God bless. Peace.
God bless.